Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, Text 15. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Shri Narada Uvacha.
Etavad.
Brahmanaya.
Uktva.
Brahmanayoktva.
Etavad
Brahmanayoktva.
Virarama.
Mahamatihi.
Virarama Mahamatihi.
Tam Sannibhartsya. Kupita.
Tam Sannibhartsya Kupitaha.
Sudino
Rajasevakaha.
Sudino Rajasevakaha. Shri Narada Uvacha. Etavad Brahmana Yoktva. Virarama Mahamatihi. Tam Sannibhatsya Kupita. Sudino Rajasevakaha.
Shri
Narada Uvacha.
Etavad Brahmana
Yoktva.
Virarama Mahamatihi.
Tam Sannibhatsya Kupita. Sudino Rajasevakaha. Shri Narada Uvacha. Etavad Brahmana Yoktva. Virarama Mahamatihi. Tam Sannibhatsya Kupita. Sudino Rajasevakaha. Shri Narada Uvacha. Narada Muni said, Etavad,
this much.
Brahmanaya,
unto the Brahmanas,
the sons of Shukracharya,
Uktva,
speaking,
Virarama,
became silent.
Mahamatihi,
Prahlad
Maharaj,
who possessed great intelligence,
Tam,
him,
Prahlad
Maharaj,
Sannibhartsya,
chastising very,
very harshly,
Kupitaha,
being angry,
Sudinaha,
poor in thought,
or very much aggrieved.
Rajasevakaha,
the servants of King Hiranyakashipu.
Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada.
The great Saint Narada Muni continued, the great soul Prahlad Maharaj became silent after saying this to his teachers Shanda and Amarka, the seminal sons of Shukracharya. These so-called Brahmanas then became angry at him. Because they were servants of Hiranyakashipu, they were very sorry. And to chastise Prahlad Maharaj, they spoke as follows. Please repeat. The great Saint Narada Muni continued.
The great soul Prahlad Maharaj
became silent
after saying this to his teachers,
Shanda and Amarka. the seminal sons of Shukracharya. These so-called Brahmanas then became angry at him because they were servants of Hiranyakashipu. They were very sorry. And to chastise Prahlad Maharaj, they spoke as follows. Purport. The word Shukra means semen. The sons of Shukracharya were Brahmanas by birthright. But an actual Brahmana is one who possesses the Brahmanical qualities. The Brahmanas Shanda and Amarka, being seminal sons of Shukracharya, did not actually possess real Brahmanical qualifications, for they engaged as servants of Hiranyakashipu. An actual Brahmana is very much satisfied to see anyone, not to speak of his disciple, become a devotee of Lord Krishna. Such Brahmanas are meant to satisfy the Supreme Master. A Brahmana is strictly prohibited from becoming a servant of anyone else, for that is the business of dogs and Shudras. A dog must satisfy his master, but a Brahmana does not have to satisfy anyone. He is simply meant to satisfy Krishna. Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam. That is the real qualification of a Brahmana. Because Shanda and Amarka were seminal Brahmanas and had become servants of such a master as Hiranyakashipu, they unnecessarily wanted to chastise Prahlad Maharaj. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishta Bhutale Shimate Jayapataka Swami Nitinamane Namo Acharya Padaya Nitai Kripa Pradayane Gauragatha Dhamadaya Nagara Gramantarine Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishta Bhutale Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamane Namaste Saraswate Deva Kauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunivadi Pashyatya Deshattarine Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityanandau Sahoditau Gaudodaye Pushpavantau Chitrau Shandau Tamonudau Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pratayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Nama Vancha Kalpatru Bhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gauravhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Actually, I'm not qualified to sit and speak in the sacred abode, but Janardhan Maharaj wanted me to speak, so I'm obliged. If I say something wrong, please do correct me. Okay, there are several important points in this purport. First of all, Prabhupada explains that a real Brahmana is one who possesses the Brahmanical qualities. The Varnas are not actually decided by birth, even though childhood experience happens to be the most powerful influence in our lives. Ultimately speaking, it is one's guna and karma that determine one's Varna. In the Bhagavatam, in this very canto, in a later chapter, we will see, 11th chapter, Yudhishthir Maharaj asks Narada Muni, what kind of social arrangement can we have by which people attain the sort of perfection exhibited by Prahlad Maharaj? And at that time, Narada Muni begins to talk about the what we refer to as Daiva Varnashrama, that is Varnashrama Dharma, that is favorable for attaining spiritual progress, that sort of Bhakti Anukula Varnashrama Dharma. So first of all, he spells out certain common duties and characteristics for all members of all Varnas, all Ashramas, women, everyone. These are the general principles to be followed by all human beings. Truthfulness, mercy, austerity, observing fasts on certain days of the month, bathing twice a day, tolerance, discrimination between right and wrong, control of the mind, control of the senses, non-violence, celibacy, charity. Okay. These are the general principles to be followed by all human beings. Truthfulness, mercy, austerity, which means observing fasts on certain days of the month, bathing twice a day, tolerance, discrimination between right and wrong, control of the mind, control of the senses, non-violence, celibacy, charity, reading of scripture, simplicity, satisfaction, rendering service to saintly persons, gradually taking leave of unnecessary engagements, observing the futility of the unnecessary activities of human society, remaining silent and grave and avoiding unnecessary talk, considering whether one is the body or the soul, distributing food equally to all living entities, both men and animals, seeing every soul, especially in the human form, as a part of the Supreme Lord. These are 21 items. Now there are 9 items which we can quickly recognize. Hearing about the activities and instructions given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the shelter of the saintly persons, chanting about these activities and instructions, always remembering these activities and instructions, trying to render service, performing worship, offering obeisances, becoming a servant, becoming a friend, and surrendering one's whole self. O King Yudhishthir, these 30 qualifications must be acquired in the human form of life. Simply by acquiring these qualifications, one can satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So these are 30 duties common to all varnas, all ashramas, women. On top of this, in Varnashrama Dharma, the Brahmanas are meant to follow their duties. Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras are meant to follow their duties. Similarly, the 4 ashrama dharmas are there. Women have something called Stri Dharma. But this is fundamental. This is what distinguishes human beings from animals. So this is fundamental. On top of this, one can have superstructure. Now, here we have a very bizarre situation with the sons of Shukracharya. They are opposing a fundamental duty to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Navavidha Bhakti, in the 9 ways of Shravanam Kirtanam. They are part of these fundamental duties. These are Samanya Dharma, common to all human beings. One does not execute these duties, but instead he tries to follow the duties of the Varnas and Ashramas and so on. Then that is like a man who does not pay his taxes and he tries to give in charity. He has to carry out his fundamental duties. Then on top of it, he can do other things. So therefore, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, those who oppose devotional service to the Supreme Lord are condemned as being demoniac. And they're, even if they engage in various varnic duties, ashrama duties, whatever, if they do not engage in these fundamental duties of Bhagavata Dharma, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atmanivedanam, and on top of it they oppose it, then they are considered as bad, as sinful people, people who are adharmic, people who just engage in sinful activities, even though these people appear to be following some kind of dharma. Now, the other point to note is these classifications of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, this is actually by qualifications, guna karma. Again, in that portion of the 7th canto which we will see later on, chapter 11, the final verse talks about this. If one shows the symptoms of being a Brahmana, I'll read out the verse. Yasya lakshanam proktam pumso varnabhi vyanjakam yad anyatra api drishyeta tat tena eva vinirdishet. If one shows the symptoms of being a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra as described above, even if he has appeared in a different class, he should be accepted according to those symptoms of qualification. And Prabhupada has commented, here and it is clearly stated by Narada Muni, that one should not be accepted as a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra according to birth. For although this is going on now, it is not accepted by the Shastras. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 4.13, Chaturvarnyam Maya Srishtam Gunakarma Vibhagashah. Thus the four divisions of society, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra, are to be ascertained according to qualities and activities. If one was born in a Brahmana family and has acquired the Brahmanical qualifications, he is to be accepted as a Brahmana. Otherwise, he should be considered a Brahma Bandhu. Similarly, if a Shudra acquires the qualities of a Brahmana, although he was born in a Shudra family, he is not a Shudra. Because he has developed the qualities of a Brahmana, he should be accepted as a Brahmana. The Krishna consciousness movement is meant to develop these Brahmanical qualities. So that is what a Brahmana is supposed to be. He is supposed to be ascertained on the basis of his qualities. We know from Bhagavad Gita the nature of a Brahmana. Krishna spells it out in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. There are 9 symptoms. And those who exhibit those symptoms, they have to be accepted as genuine Brahmanas. One of the features of a genuine Brahmana is that he will never become a paid salaried worker. Prabhupada often spoke about this, and here also Prabhupada writes it. An actual Brahmana is very much satisfied to see anyone, not to speak of his disciple, become a devotee of Lord Krishna. Such Brahmanas are meant to satisfy the Supreme Master. A Brahmana is strictly prohibited from becoming a servant of anyone else, for that is the business of dogs and Shudras. A dog must satisfy his master, but a Brahmana does not have to satisfy anyone. He is simply meant to satisfy Krishna. Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilanam. That is the real qualification of a Brahmana. Because Shanda and Amarka were seminal Brahmanas and had become servants of such a master as Hiranyakashipu, they unnecessarily wanted to chastise Prahlad Maharaj. So the idea is that a Brahmana should not put himself in a position where for his livelihood, for his survival, for his maintenance, he is financially dependent on anyone. The Brahmana, the Kshatriya and the Vaishya are meant to be self-dependent. Actually, those who have the propensities of a Brahmana, a Kshatriya and a Vaishya, they have the spirit of taking a risk in order to maintain themselves. Vaishyas, for instance, they have this kind of attitude that somehow or other I'll make money. They don't think that I need to become a salaried worker of someone. I need to make someone happy, and that man will give me a salary at the end of every week or every month. They don't think like that. They think it's below their dignity. Kshatriya also thinks like that. And Brahmanas are not actually even worried so much about money. They are convinced that all I need to do is serve Lord Krishna or Lord Vishnu in Vedic civilization. And when I serve the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Lord will arrange for everything that is required. Even though He is invisible to our physical sense perception, He will take care of us. And that Jai Gaur Nitai Krishna Balram Radhesha. Just like, for instance, we have, just like in family life, you have small children, they study, they go to school, they don't worry about making money. They don't even think about making money. Why they don't think about making money? Because they are absolutely confident that their parents will take care of them. So Brahmanas are like this. They think it's a waste of time. It is not only a waste of time, it is also a great distraction. So those who have the nature of a Brahmana, they do not think it is worth it to become a servant of someone else. That is also stated in the same portion of Bhagavatam. 7th canto, 11th chapter. In time of emergency, one may accept any of the various types of professions known as Rita, Amrita, Mrita, Pramrita, and Satyanrita. But one should not at any time accept the profession of a dog. Becoming a salaried worker is called Shwavritti, the profession of a dog. Because you simply have to do whatever, you have to dance by the whims of your the person who is giving the salary. So it's condemned in Manusamhita and in various scriptures, even in Bhagavatam. So anyway, for Brahmanas, this is something, this is important. Prabhupada has commented, formerly the principle of dividing human society into four sections, Brahmanas, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra, was strictly followed. But because of gradual neglect of the Varnashram principles, Varna Sankara population developed and the entire institution has now been lost. This brings us to another point, that when we progress in Krishna consciousness, we are expected to develop Brahmanical qualities. In Upadeshamrita, in the nectar of instruction, in the preface, Srila Prabhupada writes, in all spiritual affairs, one's first duty is to control his mind and senses. Unless one controls his mind and senses, one cannot make any advancement in spiritual life. Everyone within this material world is engrossed in the modes of passion and ignorance. One must promote himself to the platform of goodness, sattva guna, by following the instructions of Rupa Goswami, and then everything concerning how to make further progress will be revealed. The nectar of instruction or Upadeshamrita is Rupa Goswami's own summary of everything that he has taught elsewhere. And it is organized in step-by-step fashion. The first duty of Vaishnava is to obey Rupa Goswami's first instruction. Vacho vegam, manasah krodha vegam, jihva vegam, udaropastha vegam. Etan vegan yo vishahet dhira sarvam abhimam prithvim sasishyat. First of all, it is our duty to control the six urges. The urge of speech, the urge of mind, the urge of anger, and the urges of the tongue, the belly and the genitals. Such a person is called a sober person, dhira. A dhira is a brahmana, a qualified brahmana is a dhira. Such a person is qualified to instruct others. He can instruct indeed the entire world. Sarvam api mam prithivim sasishyat. He can instruct the entire world. This is the first instruction. This is the first step in Krishna consciousness. And after this, after we have become accomplished in following the first instruction of Acharya Rupa Goswami, then we can follow the second instruction of Rupa Goswami. Then actually we become qualified to follow the second instruction of Rupa Goswami. Atyahara prayasascha prajalpo niyamagraha janasangascha laulyamcha shadbhir bhaktir vinashyati. There are six activities which spoil devotional service, which spoil our attempts to make spiritual progress. Atyahara, to overeat or over collect. Prayasa, to engage in unnecessary endeavors. Atyahara prayasascha prajalpa, unnecessary talk. Talk which is not Krishna Katha. Niyamagraha. Niyamagraha means abhakti niyama agraha and bhakti niyama agraha. To be eager to follow rules and regulations which are not within devotional service, or to not be eager to follow the rules and regulations of devotional service. Janasanga. To associate with non-devotees. Laulyam. To have non-Krishna conscious ambitions. The ambition of one who is seeking love of Godhead is exactly that. He wants love of Godhead. Ainanda tanuja kinkaram patitam mam vishame bhavam budhau Kripayatava pada pankaja sthita dhuli sadrisham vichintaya. This is the ambition of one who has taken to the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nayanam galadashru dharaya, vadanam gadgadarudhaya gira, pulakai nichitam vapukhada tavanama grahane bhavishyati. This is the ambition of a follower of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Any other ambition, ambition for dharma, artha, kama, moksha is considered to be laulya, greed for unnecessary goals. So the first step is to obey Rupa Goswami's first instruction. The second step is actually to obey Rupa Goswami's first two instructions. The next step is to obey Rupa Goswami's first three instructions. The third instruction is Utsaha, Nishaya, Dhairya, Tattat Karma Pravartana, Sangatyaga, Satovritte, Shadbhirbhakti, Prasidhyati. The six activities which greatly accelerate our spiritual progress. To maintain enthusiasm for spiritual progress, Utsaha, Nishaya. To be very confident about the teachings and process of Krishna consciousness. Dhairya, to be sober and fixed. Utsaha, Nishaya, Dhairya, Tattat Karma Pravartanat, to engage in the various items of devotional service. Srila Rupa Goswami has given 64 items of devotional service, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that we should be busy with those 64 items of devotional service. Tattat Karma Pravartanat. Sangatyaga, to abandon the association of non-devotees. Satovritte, to follow in the footsteps of the predecessor acharyas. You can note that Rupa Goswami has taken one item and put it in two places. Association with non-devotees comes in two lists. In text 2 of Nectar of Instruction, it also comes in text 3 of Nectar of Instruction. To associate with non-devotees destroys one's endeavor to attain the perfection of devotional service. And to avoid the association of non-devotees helps one to progress and attain love of God. This is the only item that Rupa Goswami repeats. It is so important because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was asked about the duty of a Vaishnava, he said, Asat Sangatyagai Vaishnavachar. The characteristic of a Vaishnava is that he avoids association of non-devotees. Much of our own difficulties in our own movement has been caused due to association with non-devotees. That is the next item, next step in Krishna consciousness. The fourth step in Krishna consciousness is to obey Rupa Goswami's first four instructions in Upadeshamrita. The fourth instruction is Dadati Pratigrihnati Gukhyamakhyati Prichati Bhungte Bhojayate Chaiva Shadvitam Priti Lakshanam. These six exchanges of love are meant only for those who have taken to Krishna consciousness and who desire to attain the perfection of Krishna consciousness. That is clear from the context. So anyway, the first duty is to practice Krishna consciousness in such a manner that we are able to tolerate the six urges. Vacho vegam, manasah krodha vegam, jihva vegam, udaropastha vegam. The first three urges are the urges of the subtle body. The next three urges are the urges of the gross body. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has also noted that these six urges are unfavorable in Krishna consciousness, and therefore Rupa Goswami has brought it out first in Upadeshamrita, Nectar of Instruction. So, to become a dhira, a sober person, as defined in the first instruction of Rupa Goswami, or to become a brahmana, a qualified brahmana, is the first step in Krishna consciousness. Elsewhere in a conversation, 1977, April or May, Bombay, Prabhupada, while he was talking about introducing Varnashrama Dharma within ISKCON, he made this point that actually to become a fully qualified brahmana in Krishna consciousness, that is the first step in Krishna consciousness, and a fully qualified brahmana in Krishna consciousness, he said, is actually a Kanishtha Vaishnava. That is actually a neophyte devotee. When I first saw that, I was very astonished that one who is a full-fledged Brahmana, having all the 9 symptoms of a Brahmana, and he is in Krishna consciousness, that such a person is a neophyte Vaishnava means, this is a very extraordinary statement. And then later on I discovered several statements by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to the same effect. And then I noticed Bhaktivinoda Thakur also say the same thing. In Manashiksha, Raghunath Das Goswami's first, that is also another series of instructions which are meant to be followed step by step. There also Raghunath Das Goswami says that we should be respectful to the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas and the associates of Lord Krishna. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur has commented that the associates of Lord Krishna are Uttama Vaishnavas. They are perfect pure devotees. The Vaishnavas in this context refers to pure Vaishnavas. And the Brahmanas are those who are in Krishna consciousness in the mode of goodness. And he says these are Kanishta Vaishnavas. So this has some relevance for our own individual Krishna consciousness. It is our duty to examine whether we have succeeded in following Rupa Goswami's first instruction. Of course, we know that in the process of Krishna consciousness, there is no loss or no diminution. But nevertheless, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has noted that we should not depend on attaining Kripa Siddhi. Rather, we should seek Krishna's causeless mercy to attain Sadhana Siddhi. These are two different things. It is one thing to ask Krishna for causeless mercy for Kripa Siddhi, and it is another thing to ask Krishna for causeless mercy for Sadhana Siddhi. Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself has in several poems and in many of his books, he writes that we should do our part. We should do our part and we should pray to Krishna for mercy, and Krishna will certainly give mercy. It's not that he won't. As long as our attitude towards Lord Krishna and towards his devotees is okay, then Lord Krishna himself will make all arrangements so that we can progress in Krishna consciousness. So these are some important lessons we can learn from this. There's one other point that comes to my mind. Even though Prahlad Maharaj rejects the authority of Shanda, Amarka, Hiranyakashipu and so on, he does not talk to them harshly. In Chaitanya Shikshamrita, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that one of the duties of the devotee is to be respectful and obedient to superior authorities. And he gives a list of various types of authorities, various types of superiors, the spiritual master, other elders in the family. He gives actually sevenfold criteria directly extracted from the Dharma Shastras. One is superior by age, one is superior by varna, one is superior by ashrama, one spiritual master is superior, a learned person is superior, and so on. The king or the government, the head of the government, he is superior. So in that way there are different superiors. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes this point that we should be very respectful to superiors. But he also says that, but when they give some improper instruction, one should not follow that instruction. And then he adds that, but on the other hand, one should not speak harshly with them and quarrel with them also. So that requires some maturity. To be able to accept authority, accept imperfect authority, and at the same time not get into a world war with an authority who gives a wrong instruction. That requires some maturity. In India, in families, generally in Indian families, children are trained to accept the authority of the mother and the father. And sometimes grandparents also give instructions to the children that when your mother says something wrong, only that one instruction you don't follow. Not that you do completely reject her, because that is also wrong. Only that one instruction you don't follow. Just ignore it. Just ignore it. Everything else you follow. So this is presented within the cultural infrastructure in Varnashrama Dharma. So when we come to Krishna consciousness, this is something we should remember. That sometimes our authorities may say something wrong, may give some wrong instruction. we should just quietly ignore it rather than put a gun on the head of the authority and say, hey, you know, what are you? We can simply say that, okay, that's all. Just peacefully and silently, just ignore it. That's all. Like how Prahlad Maharaj is doing. Similarly, we hear that Bali Maharaj's greatest accomplishments of Bali Maharaj was that he rejected his guru, Shukra. But what did he do? He simply silently ignored. That is called rejection. Not that you go on the internet and start writing a blog on that person. That is not acceptable to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. You are not supposed to do that. You are just supposed to silently ignore it. That's all. Just ignore it. Just, he's saying something wrong, just ignore it. That's all. When a Vaishnava makes this kind of mistake, it's our duty to just ignore it. That is called rejecting. That is the sort of rejection that is authorized. Not that when we reject, immediately we go, we start shouting, screaming, and then publicly we start screaming. This is very displeasing to the acharyas. So it is something we should keep in mind. That requires some maturity. That requires a willingness to be trained to be like that. Okay, these are some thoughts on this purport. I'll read out this text and translation. Shri Narada Uvacha, etavad brahmana yoktva virarama mahamatihi tam sannibhartya kupita sudino rajasevakah. The great saint Narada Muni continued, the great soul Prahlad Maharaj became silent after saying this to his teachers Shanda and Amarka, the seminal sons of Shukracharya. These so-called brahmanas then became angry at him. Because they were servants of Hiranyakashipu, they were very sorry, and to chastise Prahlad Maharaj they spoke as follows. Any corrections, any comments, any questions? Yes.
Thank you very much earlier for this class, for also a video on preserving Bali of our spiritual master or senior devotees. About archives, very much. I have two questions. Like one is in a position. If a devotee is assigned for he faces in management, he has a job of correcting the mistakes in Vaishnava, being a Vaishnava, on feedback, how to give feedbacks being a Vaishnava. Senior devotee to junior devotee and vice versa. That's one question. The second question is...
We'll go one at a time. A manager's duty is to correct. Just like a teacher's duty is to correct the student. Suppose my students start telling that, why are you always pointing out the mistake? Then the next thing I'll say is, then don't come to me. And why are you studying? Why are you sitting for an exam? Exam means you are simply pointed out where you are wrong. Nobody gives you a big Black Forest cake because you passed an exam. So similarly, we go to a manager means it is understood that we are accepting that we will be corrected. We are not some great souls, you know. We should remember that. Just because a superior devotee, even in the org chart, somebody is superior, just because he makes some mistakes doesn't mean that we are not supposed to listen to him. It may be irrelevant to us. It may be irrelevant to us. He may make a mistake which is totally irrelevant to me. So why am I bothered about that? Even in the world of non-devotees, people, for instance, let's say they go to a lawyer. Okay, if the lawyer is good for the purpose for which you seek him, you are respectful to him and you deal with him properly. You don't need to be bothered what he thinks about Ayurveda, you know. He may have some funny idea, but that's irrelevant to me. So same way, when we accept a service in a large movement like the Krishna Consciousness Movement, then it is our duty to just be focused and clear, not unnecessarily create problems primarily for ourselves and secondarily for others. Should be careful. And a manager's duty is to find fault, so he will find fault. Why should we find fault with him for finding fault with us when it is his duty to find fault with us?
Second question is, you said we should not work outside. I mean, Brahmanas, they should not work.
I'm saying Brahmanas don't work outside.
So
when we become Brahmanas, we will not work outside.
Okay. So we have many devotees who are second initiated, who are in our congregation. Please request them humbly, please come and do service. We have this service for you which we can do, which we are doing outside. But we have, you know, the pay is very less. But it's very difficult to convince them to come and request them to join the temple for service. You have a better way to get them to do service in temple rather than they do service outside.
So what is your question?
It's difficult for us to convince them so that they give up their job outside and do the job here itself, but for a lesser pay. Because
first of all, Brahmanas don't think about making money, no. A Brahmana who wants to become rich is an oxymoron. It doesn't... Brahmanas are interested in coming to the mode of goodness, and in the Krishna book, we see that Rukmini Devi sent a Brahmana to Lord Krishna with a letter saying, please kidnap me. So at that time, when the Brahmana came to see the Supreme Lord, Krishna told him, are you peaceful? And Prabhupada has commented in the Krishna book that Brahmana's duty is to be peaceful. He is not supposed to be materially happy. He is supposed to be peaceful. Neither unhappy nor happy. He is supposed to be peaceful. So those of us who have prematurely ventured into something that we are not yet qualified for, should become qualified for that. So if, without knowing all the ins and outs of what is a Brahmana in Krishna consciousness, I have signed up for it and I have taken second initiation, now what to do? Now fall at the feet of genuine Brahmanas and say, please make me a genuine Brahmana also. That is only a new, that's also we should remember, that's the first step. Then we need to progress more and more. In Bhaktivinoda Thakur's model of Krishna consciousness, primarily directed to grihasthas within the framework of the Namahatta. This is what he called Namahatta. And he was himself reviving Lord Nityananda's method of preaching. In that, one important duty is to increase the chanting and hearing of the Hare Krishna mantra on beads. We are supposed to start with one round. 1, 2, 3, 4, and then increase in multiples of 4, 8, 12, 16, 20, 24, and so on, until one comes to 64. Then increase in multiples of 64, until he comes to 192. Then he is supposed to chant constantly. This is a standard methodology, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes. He is giving a complete package. This is what is called congregational preaching. Everyone accepts it and increases. So naturally, when we avoid offenses to the holy names and we increase the chanting of Krishna's names, and when we are not chanting Krishna's names, naturally the holy name will make you render so many services also. Dear Radha Krishna, please engage me in your devotional service. We are asking that, so Radha Krishna will immediately give us services. So those services also I accepted. Then naturally I will develop the qualities of the mode of goodness and so on and so on and so on. If we just follow the Acharya's instructions as they are given, without addition, subtraction, then everything comes naturally. Nine qualities. Sorry? Well, they might have been more elaborated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes. And this comes again in 11th canto again. Generally, Srimad Bhagavatam clarifies Bhagavad Gita, and Chaitanya Charitamrita clarifies Srimad Bhagavatam. So it is natural that what Lord Krishna explains in summary has been expounded in further detail in Bhagavatam.
The extra one I read was like, he's compassionate.
He's compassionate. That is, yes. See, there are certain sets of qualities which are broken into 9 divisions in Bhagavad Gita. But this is broken into 12 divisions in Srimad Bhagavatam.
And
Prabhupada explains, you can establish Varnashram Dharma. The people who have developed the 30 qualities.
Yes, yes.
Without those people, it's hard to.
Yes, yes, correct. Correct. I emphasize that. For even for something as simple as, let us say a person wants to serve Krishna in the family ashram, grihastha ashram. In grihastha ashram, there is grihastha ashram dharma. But the preliminary to that are these 30 items. These 30 items themselves are further broken into first nine items of devotional service. And there are 21 sattvic activities. Then on top of it, you are supposed to carry out the duties of a grihastha. Women are meant to carry out their duties. Now, if you don't engage in devotional service, you cannot engage in the sattvic activities. And without that, you cannot do this. Like for instance, one of the duties is to be truthful. In fact, that's the first out of the 21 sattvic activities. The first one is to be truthful. So if a husband is not truthful, a wife is not truthful, then children won't be truthful, then the grandparents won't be truthful, and everybody is untruthful for Krishna. It will become a big circus, you know. Then everybody is telling untruth to serve Krishna. So therefore, Prabhupada has explained it that first of all, we should follow this. Specifically within that also he says, first of all the nine types of devotional service within those 30 duties also. First, we should first of all emphasize that. And amongst those who have taken to the nine types of devotional service, then we should start talking about these 21 sattvic duties. Sattvic activities, being truthful and so on. Now if we engage in devotional service properly, they are meant to automatically come. If they don't automatically come, that means we are not doing devotional service properly. So the next step is to engage in these activities manually.
Which also means even Ashoka has those.
Yes, 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 yes.
Since that is amazing, it makes you a human.
Yes, and that is very clear, you know, because generally when we talk about Varnashrama, both inside ISKCON and outside ISKCON, immediately you think that here is a system which makes it very easy for people on the higher ranks to exploit those in the lower ranks. But if you understand that this, first of all, every member is supposed to have these 30 qualities. If a person does not have these 30 qualities, he is disqualified from participating in Varnashrama Dharma. So that makes it clear that it is only meant for a select group of devotees. Anything else? Yes, please.
So the meaning of Shukracharya is clear. Secondly, the meaning of Shukracharya. So what is the meaning of Shandra and Amara?
I don't yet know. I never thought about it. The Acharyas must have explained.
So I'll get somewhere.
Huh?
So can I go?
Please.
So Shandra is like a bull. In India they call it Sanam. A bull is, you know what it is. So we call it special. Bull is always special. Amarga means darkness. This is Sanskrit word. Marga is light. Amarga is darkness. So then what I added some things.
Appropriate names. Can you just... Yes? Okay. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Samaveta Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande, Hare Hare Bo.